Welcome to Microsoft Build 2017. My name is Jeffrey Tippett, and I'm here to show you the future of NetAdapter. If you've been following us so far, you've seen three videos about NetAdapter, and right now you're watching the fourth. In the fourth video, we're going to talk about what NetAdapter is shipping today in the Windows 10 Creators Update, and then what NetAdapter we'd like to ship in the future. Finally, we'll talk about how your feedback will influence our roadmap. I'd like to emphasize that Windows 10 Creators Update ships a preview of NetAdapter. That means the APIs are not yet fixed, and you still have a chance to tell us your feedback. There are a number of issues that we know we need to address before we call this a final release. I won't read the whiteboard at you right now, but you can see that we need to add WLAN support, and we need to add support for even more queues and faster performance. Your feedback is very important to us, and it will help us guide us as we decide which items to prioritize from our roadmap. And you can even suggest new items for our roadmap. We're trying to make a driver framework that helps you be more productive, and this roadmap is really all about you. Now, this is a roadmap that this is a little bit about what we're thinking about, but this is not a commitment. We're trying to be as open as possible when discussing our future plans. So, you know, you may find that some of these things ship in the near term, some of these things may take a few years, and some of these things we might decide, hey, that wasn't a very good idea after all. Let's take a look at some of the new scenarios that we'd like to light up with NetAdapter. First and foremost, WLAN drivers. If you've written a WLAN driver for Windows 10, you've probably heard of WDI. WDI is a project actually with goals very similar to NetAdapter. It's designed to make it simpler to write a wireless driver. WDI has a state machine that takes care of prioritization of all the different events and activities and jobs that can come in on a wireless adapter, and it boils that down to a simple set of commands for your driver. But because this comes through an interface that's different from regular NDIS, NetAdapter doesn't yet cover that interface. So today in the Creators Update, you cannot use NetAdapter to build a wireless driver. We know we need to get this working, and your feedback, email us. Your feedback will help us prioritize this very important issue. NetAdapter itself is not fundamentally unable to do wireless. You could build a native Wi-Fi driver using NetAdapter, but we don't recommend this because native Wi-Fi is deprecated. This is one of my favorite items on the menu, UMDF. User mode driver framework. User mode means that this driver runs in user mode. It runs in just a regular user mode process like any other process. The best part is if your driver has any errors, whether it's a hang or a crash, maybe you dereference a null pointer, the user mode process is torn down and the OS simply creates a new one. Your driver is restarted seamlessly. That means the user does not see a blue screen of death when your driver has any problem. Imagine how reliable the system becomes with your driver if you can use UMDF. Now, UMDF is a stable and mature technology from the WDF team. However, networking drivers have never been able to use it in the past. Now with NetAdapter, we're working to get NetAdapter compiling in user mode and unblock you from building your own UMDF-based NIC driver. Now let me talk a little bit more about how this can actually help you be more productive. With UMDF, maybe you're adding a new driver feature, maybe you're building a new driver for a new line of hardware. New code bases, you've always got those little boneheaded mistakes. Maybe you forgot to initialize a variable, or maybe you're supposed to put a 1 here, but you put a 2. And you compile it, and the thing crashes, and you say, oh. With a traditional kernel driver, you're going to be sitting there wasting maybe a minute, 2 minutes while the computer reboots, and you load your new driver on there, and you finally get that going. UMDF tightens that dev inner loop to just seconds And that's because it's a true user mode process. So to fix your driver, to change the code, all you got to do is hit F5 in Visual Studio. And the new DLL is ready to go. No rebooting the computer, no crashes, no blue screen of death. It's so productive for you, the developer. The great thing about UMDF is it seamlessly transitions over to KMDF if you want to ship a KMDF driver. So you can build out the early stages of your driver using UMDF, then click one button, and the whole driver is now a KMDF driver, ready to be shipped. So you can work out all the kind of the boneheaded bugs early, productively, efficiently, but your customers still run the kernel driver with its fastest data path and its incredible optimization. And now we're getting a little bit further out there. What if you didn't need a device at all? Endis has always required you to have a PMP device. You've always had to have some bus driver, enumerate, a dev node. You've always had to have power transitions and surprise remove and asynchronous initialization. And that's great for devices. But maybe you don't have a device. Maybe you're writing an IM driver with a virtual mini port. Or maybe you're writing a tunnel technology, perhaps a VPN or some sort of encryption device. In that case, you're creating a whole device object for what exactly? Just to make Endis happy. We don't need to have this device. NetAdapter is designed to be independent from the device object, which means that you can just not have to deal with the power transitions, no surprise remove, no complicated state machine for PMP. Your driver loads, you start sending packets, you're ready to go. No hassle. It simplifies your driver so much. But we know we've got a lot of work to do to light this one up. There's work we have to do across the entire operating system. So this could take a while. But give us your feedback on this one, and we can move it up in our priority list. Now here's one we've already got your feedback on. We hear you loud and clear. Sometimes you build a PCI device with one function, one device, but four or many more network ports. In that case, it's a little cumbersome to build a real Endis-based NIC driver because Endis requires you to have exactly one device to one network port. So what you've got to do is you've got to use mf.sys if you can, and in some cases you have to write your own bus driver. Now, why do you have to write a whole bus driver just to get Endis to see these network ports that you've got? Wouldn't it be so much easier if you could start one device and just call NetAdapter create 4 times or 8 times or 1,024 times? We would like to break the one-to-one requirement so that you can create any number of NetAdapters from a single PMP device. And like I keep saying, this one's priority is based on your feedback. The data path is truly the heart of any network adapter, which means we've got just tons of ideas on how we can improve our data path. First things first, buffers. The choice of where we allocate the packet payload, it truly matters because even on a small SOC device, perhaps your network adapter is closer to some memory, and so some memory is faster. All the way up to a server device, where in a NUMA node, some memory is closer to the PCI bus. That means that the choice of memory matters. Today, there's no way for your device to offer hints to the OS and say, please prefer memory from here, or I need you to allocate memory that's aligned in this way, or I need you to allocate memory that doesn't straddle certain powers of two. By taking all these requirements and abstracting them behind what we're calling a buffer manager, this would allow protocols and filters and everybody else in the network stack to agree on where to allocate memory, what buffers are best to use to maximize performance on your hardware. Imagine with virtualization, two VMs communicating with each other. We would love to be able to allocate a single shared memory region that's mapped into both VMs so the VMs can communicate with zero copies of memory. But in order to do that, we need to enlighten everybody in the network stack. Here's the memory that's already mapped for your VM-to-VM communication. The new NetAdapter data path is oriented around queues. For the first time, queues are a top-level object in the networking stack. This means that when the protocol driver would like to send traffic, it doesn't send it to a port, it sends it to a queue. But in the preview release, we've only enabled one queue pair. That means one transmit queue and one receive queue. Of course, we know we need to scale this more. Hardware has thousands of queues, and we want to be able to help you showcase your hardware's capabilities. We need to be able to scale to whatever your hardware's got so you can deliver all the results that your hardware is capable of on Windows. Endis traditionally has used queues only indirectly via RSS or VMQ. With an indirect and implied queue from RSS, the operating system will say, let's spread this load across multiple CPUs, but it doesn't directly tell you exactly, you know, how to map that to queues. With NetAdapter, we would love to be able to say, let's run the data path on the correct CPUs, because NetAdapter handles all the decisions about scheduling, DPCs, threads. NetAdapter takes care of that for you. So all you have to do is allow your hardware queue to be pulled on the correct thread. This means we won't necessarily need to have specific abstractions for RSS and VMQ. Those abstractions will be higher level. NetAdapter will take care of translating that into the appropriate advanced calls on each queue. In order to effectively implement RSS, your hardware has to be able to hash incoming packets. Furthermore, your hardware has to do many other transformations on the packets as they are received and transmitted. Most obviously, statistics. That's the basic thing any network adapter does. But you also will need to implement offloads like checksum offload, RSC, or LSO. With these offloads, your hardware is accelerating the network data path by performing some simple common tasks that otherwise we would have to do on the main CPU. But in some cases, your hardware can't do the offload for every packet. Maybe, for example, you can perform checksum offload on just the IP packets that have no IP option headers or IPv6 extension headers. In that case, you've been forced to write a software fallback, so your driver is still performing the checksum in software on all the packets where your hardware can't do it. With NetAdapter, we would like to be able to take all these software fallbacks and move them into the OS. So if your driver does RSC in hardware, great. But if there's ever any packets that your hardware can't do RSC on, no problem. NetAdapter will do it for you in software. You don't have to implement software fallbacks for all of the offloads that your hardware supports. Flow classification is a new and really exciting technology that's really taking off in the cloud. With flow classification, the hardware can actually look at the packet and understand it belongs to this VM, to this flow, and even decide, let's drop it on this processor. If you think about it, RSS, VMQ, all these are specific vertical scenarios for the general topic of flow classification and load spreading. We want to integrate flow classification directly into our data path. So when we have thousands of queues, you'll know exactly which queue to indicate the packet on. But in order to do that, we need to develop some rich language of generic flow classification. We know there's a few out there, like BPF or even P4. Give us your feedback. Tell us what your hardware can do and which language would be most useful for you to program into your hardware. Finally, with the data path, we've unlocked all these capabilities. We're showcasing your hardware's raw power. But at the end of the day, it still goes through end of 6, which means many of these features are just not available for end of 6 protocol drivers. What we need to do is expose directly the raw queues, the actual hardware capabilities, to other software drivers. That means TCP/IP, vSwitch, and even your own Endis protocol driver can take advantage, can take direct advantage of these queues. In order to do that, we need to build a set of APIs. We need to build this platform on top of NetAdapter. It's going to be a while before we get this right, because there are many hard problems to solve. How do you enable generic packet filtering, like a firewall or even Microsoft Network Monitor might do, if the application is directly connected to the NIC? We need to find a way for filter drivers to participate in this new NetAdapter extension. Now, having all this power at your disposal is really no good if you can never build a driver for it, which is why usability is important. Let's get the boring and tedious and boilerplate stuff out of the way so you can focus on the really delivering the hardware capabilities of your hardware. Inf-Files. I don't know if I need to even say anything about this. You know how tiresome and how clunky and strange inf files are. We've seen the most fantastically bizarre syntax errors actually make it onto Windows Update because, let's face it, even I don't fully understand what this inf file is all about. What we can need to do is we need to simplify this, make it readable. No magic numbers, no magic constants, no, I don't know what this is, NDI, HKR, params, none of that. Let's just make it say what it needs to say so anybody can edit it. Here's an example. Now this is just early thinking, it's not real code, it doesn't really compile, but this is an example of what we're thinking of and what we would love to be able to bring for you. We would love it for network infs to be so readable, so easy to understand, that anybody without having to read a 300-page manual can just look at the inf and say, oh, that's what it's doing, I understand. And if you need to add a new feature, just it's so simple, just change the line or add a new line. Anybody should be able to understand how to manage their inf's. Furthermore, we want inf's to be integrated into Visual Studio in a very great way. Right now, if you hit F5 in Visual Studio, it will check some syntax errors in your inf's, but it doesn't know anything about networking. So all the networking specific parts, well, it's just going to try and deploy potentially errors to your test system. We want errors in networking specific parts, as well as the rest of the inf, to be caught up front at the time you compile. Or maybe, even better yet, could we get squiggly underlines underneath the wrong parts? We want this to be so productive and so easy for you that you actually like editing inf's. Can you imagine? And this one, gosh, this one's a little bit scary, but just be patient for a moment. Let me explain. We've been using OIDs for decades. Endis has always used OIDs to manage the control path. And OIDs have served us so well over the time, but we've also seen a few problems come up. Let me give you an example. If we use an OID to allocate a resource, well, we also have to use an OID to free the resource. Suppose we allocate the resource, the NIC goes to low power, and then we can't free the resource because the NIC is in low power. So what does the protocol do? The protocol driver is forced to sit there and spin, waiting for the NIC to come back to high power before the protocol can actually even free the resource. Now this is not very good. This means the protocol drivers have a lot of complexity, and in some cases, might be blocked from performing some important cleanup operation until a power transition finishes, which could take hours. What we want to do, what we need, is some model that's designed for resource allocation and cleanup that works, and we've got it with NetAdapter. NetAdapter is integrated with WDF, and WDF has an amazing resource cleanup strategy. WDF already has solved this problem, and all we need to do is to tie the commands from NDIS, tie these OIDs into WDF's model so that we already have a deterministic, we have a simple and easy and understandable way to clean up resources. But we can take this further. If you've written an NDIS driver, you probably know that after you come out of low power or after you perform a mini port reset, you've got to recreate all of your hardware state. And that means you've got to keep your hardware state on your own software context. When NDIS sends you, say, a packet filter, you've got to program that in the hardware and then remember that packet filter for later. Because after a reset, you might have to reprogram that. And over time, you've accumulated piles and piles of state, all this state that you have to replay after a reset or a low power transition. Why should you have to do that? NDIS already knows this state. We would like to get it so that you can just push a button on NDIS and NDIS will replay everything for you. So you don't have to track it in software. NDIS already has it available for you. I hope you understand then why we're thinking maybe we can move beyond OIDs. And I hope I'm not scaring you too much. This is not something we're going to do tomorrow or even this month. This is just this. I'm giving you access to our roadmap like no one's ever shown you before. This is very early thinking. So give us your feedback. Tell us what you think about everything I've said here, about OIDs, about deviceless PMP. We need your feedback to prioritize which items on our roadmap are the most important. If you've watched the third video, you already saw our IO helpers in action. Our IO helpers are a new model where we're going to take highly optimized and correct code for interacting with your hardware, your bus driver, or the DMA engine, and we're putting these helpers on GitHub, just little .h files, and you can do whatever you want with them. You can include them in your driver, you can tweak it, modify it. If you want, you can send it back to Microsoft and we'll put it on GitHub. We'll put your changes back on GitHub. Or you can keep your changes closed source. That's your call. You can use these for your differentiation if you like. Or maybe you just want to ignore them completely. But whatever you do, please give us feedback. Tell us, is this IO helper model working for you? And if it is, how can we make them better? Are there ones that we are missing? Let's take a look at two of the IO helpers we've got already. The first IO helper is a scatter-gather DMA helper. This is designed to make it easier to work with Windows' scatter-gather DMA APIs. If you look at our Realtek sample driver, and we'll show you a link to that if you haven't seen it already. If you look at our sample driver, you'll see how its data path is so simple because the scatter-gather DMA helper already takes care of all the tedious tasks of interacting with DMA. Plus, our DMA helper has been optimized, very carefully tuned to use synchronous API calls for maximum performance. Unless the system has no IO MMU, in that case, we can even exceed DMA's performance simply by bypassing the whole thing. This is all integrated into IO helper, so you don't have to worry about how to correctly call what when. We take care of it for you. We also have an IO helper for USB bus-based devices. These are devices that have a USB continuous reader. A USB continuous reader is a fantastic way to implement the receive path on a NIC, but if you've used it before, you know that it doesn't really integrate super well with the NDIS 6 data path APIs. You end up having to write a lot of glue code. With our IO framework helper, you write no glue code. The continuous reader, our framework helper understands the continuous reader and also understands our networking data path. It is the glue code that you would have had to write. It takes care of all that for you efficiently and well designed and well debugged. That means all you've got to do is write the code that's truly hardware specific. Diagnostics is a topic that's close to my heart. I love NDIS KDE, I love our performance counters, and I love all the stuff we've got in Windows to help you make sure that your NIC is running both correctly and efficiently. But diagnostics is never a destination. Diagnostics is always a journey. We can always do more. Let's talk about some of the ideas that we've got and how we can do even better than we've already got. If you've written an end-of-sticks driver before, you already understand miniport check for hang and miniport reset. These two functions are designed to help you detect errors either in your hardware or your firmware where the device simply gets stuck, where its cue stops moving. With NetAdapter, the cues are tightly integrated into the OS, which means we have more visibility than ever into whether your cue is stuck. That means we have access to statistics. We can tell you when the time the cue last moved, the last packet you sent or received. We can tell you how long it's been since the cue has moved. We can tell you the CPU that we access the cue on. We can tell you all these things. In the Creators Update, we've just begun to scratch the surface of all the stuff we can do in the NDSKD debugger. We've got new extensions for debugging our NetAdapter-based APIs. We've got ndskd.netrb for debugging ring buffers, netndskd.netpacket for showing you the new descriptor format. But we can show you so much more. We can make this a deeper, richer experience so you can debug your device. You can figure out why is it stuck, what stuff was happening just as it got stuck. Maybe we can correlate that with OIDs or power transitions. And we can build that all into the debugger, or maybe we need to build it into some new tool. You tell us, how can we help you make you more productive? What information do you need to see in NDSKD or other tools in order to debug these issues efficiently, effectively, and get them right the first time without having to say, can you ask for more logs? Can you install a check version of my driver? I think you're getting the message here. We want you to be productive, and we need your feedback for you to tell us how we can make you more productive. We have an open invitation for you to collaborate with us. And that can mean a lot of different things depending on what you need. Maybe you just send us a mail and say, hey, I need A, B, and C. And that's great. We'll put it onto our list. We'll put it onto our roadmap. We'll prioritize the items that you ask for. But maybe you want to get even more. You want to really dig into our framework. You want to dig into our IO helpers. And that's fantastic too. If you haven't heard it already, we've got all of this on GitHub right now. Not just the IO helpers, but also a sample driver that uses them. And this part's really amazing. We've got the source code to NetAdapter. That's Windows source code on GitHub. You can see what we're doing. And you can tell us. You can say, hey, if you just change this one little thing, that will make my device so much faster. If you go in and add an option for this, that will help me really showcase my device's cool feature. So I invite you, come check out our source code, install our sample driver, give it a spin, and tell us, collaborate with us, because we started this whole project based on your feedback, and we're going to need your feedback to finish it. Thanks for watching.